Blog Talk Radio.
Your questions, your health. This is Mind Matters.
Hello, hello, welcome everyone. Welcome to Mind Matters. My name is Farijat. I will be your host for today. Mind Matters, as you know, is a radio show produced by My Sahana, which is a South Asian mental health nonprofit that I began in 2010. And we are doing this radio show to hear your voice and to get your questions answered and talk to you about what's on your mind. So today we have a really exciting show for all of you. We are talking about dating and finding your match, no matter how old you are and what stage of life you're in. We want to know what your questions are and your thoughts are about finding your true love, about dating, about getting out there and meeting the right person that's for you. So if you're currently dating, if you're looking for someone, if you're the parent of a teenager or a young adult and you're concerned or have some questions about how they're going to find their match, give us a call. You can call us in at 347-539-5798. You can send us a Facebook message at facebook.com/mysahana. You can tweet us at mysahana. There are so many ways to get in touch with us, and we want to answer your questions today. I'm especially excited because I have a guest with me today on this show. She is the founder and CEO of Intersections Match and MyIMatch.com. She's a relationship expert, dating coach, and matchmaker, and I've had the pleasure to meet her just a few months back. I'd like to welcome you to Jasbina Ahluwalia. Hi, Jasbina.
Hi, Parijat. It's a welcome. It's a pleasure to be here, and congratulations on the radio show.
Thank you so much. It's so great to chat with you again. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Sure. Well, I'm a lawyer turned entrepreneur and a matchmaker and dating coach. So as you mentioned, founded Intersections Match, which is the only national personalized matchmaking and dating coaching company for singles of South Asian descent throughout the U.S. So basically, from day to day, we are, you know, I'm involved with dating coaching clients. I'm involved with setting up matches between clients and between clients. And we have a headhunter executive recruiter model in that, more than a dating service model, in that we introduce our clients to, you know, pretty much non-clients, and we open up the universe for them. So we do, we have scouts throughout the country who attend events on our behalf or just canvas their personal professional circles for us. And then we have, we run personal ads. We have, you know, different databases. So basically, pretty much full service with respect to helping people in their search for a partner.
Wow, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the types of people that come to see you. Is there a certain age or a demographic that you see more or less of?
Well, actually, we work with people pretty much from their 20s to, you know, up, 20s to 60s, and there's no ceiling on that in terms of 60s. It just happens to be the age, probably the highest ages we've worked with yet. But 20s to 60s, we work with men and women. And people we work with are, like I mentioned, located throughout the country. In terms of, you know, religions and, you know, where in South Asia, just, you know, South Asians most dominantly in this country happen to be Indian. So likewise, our demographics reflect that. The majority of our clients are of Indian descent as opposed to other South Asian ethnicities. And what's interesting, some of our clients are very open to meeting people of all different ethnicities. So we have relationships with people in the industry, like in the mainstream industry, in terms of non-South Asian matchmakers and dating coaches. And then some of our clients are very interested in meeting people of the same cultural background or the same religion, what have you. So we kind of have a gamut with respect to that. And just as you can imagine, I think that our you know, the demographic sort of a diaspora tends to be, you know, pretty highly educated and that kind of thing. So those kind of things would reflect in the people we work with most typically. But it really is pretty broad in scope.
Fantastic. And I remember back a few months back when we met, we were talking a little bit about generational differences and immigration status and how that affects how people conceptualize dating. And what do you see in terms of?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, there's a whole sort of refrain that I often mention when I'm speaking at different places, and that the whole don't date, don't date, don't date. Okay, get married, which, you know, resonates with a lot of, I would say, second generations. And the way I use that term, because I know people use that term differently, is, you know, I consider second generations people who are born and raised in the U.S. or, you know, let's talk about the U.S., and born and raised in the U.S. to parents who immigrated from abroad. So, and then the first generation, the people who immigrated from abroad. So in terms of this don't date, okay, get married, seems to be something that resonates. And then, so in terms of the whole concept of dating being a way to find a life partner is something that I think is, you know, for second generation, I think it's somewhat commonplace. For many first generation, but many second generations are the first generation in their family to actually, you know, utilize dating as a means to finding a partner. You know, a lot of first generations, whether it be, you know, an arranged marriage, probably most typically, where the whole concept of dating really didn't really play a role, or, you know, if anything, you know, and I think there's a wide continuum in terms of arranged marriages, but just the concept of dating as a means to getting to know oneself and prospective partners in assess compatibility on different levels. I think that is something that is more, you know, in tune with the experiences of second generations and first from my experience. So, yeah.
Really, that makes a lot of sense. And how do you explain to then the parents of these kids who are now trying to date, but they came from a whole other background of how you find your life partner? Do you ever come across that where you have to get the parents involved somehow?
You know, interestingly, I mean, you know, so people, you know, self-select into our service. So to begin with, I'd say the people who come to us are have a mindset of that is more of a dating mindset than I would say an arranged marriage mindset of meeting someone maybe once or twice or three times and making a deciding whether to commit to that person. So I think that to begin with, there's a self-selection process. But that said, we get inquiries all the time from, you know, most dominantly it is from the person seeking a match, but we get inquiries from parents or family members all the time as well. And we, you know, explain the process, and it seems, I think we've just had different press and we have an extensive website. So it seems like people are somewhat have an understanding of what this is about when they first approach us. But we don't, I actually don't run into that. And I would say this too. I find that sometimes it's interesting that, you know, parents who contact us, they tend to be very open in terms of, you know, the process. And, you know, some of them have already looked at the website and have a sense of it, or just the concept of something, having raised kids, you know, in this country, they seem somewhat in tune with. So I've been, I haven't really had an experience where this is, you know, this concept is really foreign to a parent who's inquired of us as yet. But I think it's part of the self-selection process more than anything else. So
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We are talking with Jaspina Aluwalia of Intersections Match. If you have questions, comments, thoughts about dating, finding your perfect partner, or anything like that, please give us a call at 347-539-5798. That's 347-539-5798. You can leave us a message on our Facebook fan page at MySahana, or you can tweet us at MySahana. You can certainly do all of this anonymously as well. We're more than happy to use a different name if you're more comfortable with that. So we look forward to hearing your questions and thoughts. So, Jaspina, I want to just jump right into some of these more concrete concepts of dating. So MySahana, as you know, is a general mental health awareness nonprofit, and so we get inquiries from a wide range of questions and concerns, one of which is relationship issues. And we have numerous informative articles on our website, but I'm curious from your experience, what do you find are some of the most common myths about dating and finding your life you've seen from your clients?
Common myths about, so not sure this is a myth per se, but I feel that, you know, sometimes people are almost on two extremes of a continuum in terms of one, on one hand, maybe staying too long in a relationship that really doesn't have potential on one hand, one end of the extreme, and then the other hand, hastily deciding something does or doesn't have potential, you know, after a first meeting, based on, you know, not that much, just because in a first meeting, it's difficult to know that much about a person, you know, a complex human being across from you. So I feel that sometimes, so it's not so much a myth, but it's something I think it gets in people's way in terms of on that journey of finding their partner, you know, both ends of that continuum. So I don't know if that's something that you see in, you've seen with your, you know, with your work, but that's something that I feel comes in the way. You know, we do an extensive consultation prior to, you know, extending a course of action or recommendations to clients. And so that's something by going through people's dating history and that kind of a thing. It's something that, you know, that sometimes comes up. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think identifying when, how fast you should go in the relationship in terms of, and to identify the right signs of, you know, is this something to or not, I'm sure that's where you guys can be of huge help to your clients.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the coaching comes into place. And then I would also say, you know, everyone who, everyone who comes to us, I would say, is, you know, self-identifies as selective. And I think, you know, is selective. And I think that's actually very important to be selective. I mean, this, in my opinion, this is pretty much your partner is the most important decision you're making, most impactful decision you're going to make in your life. So, you know, doing it with a, you know, having a sense of selectivity is important. What I think is most important, though, is to be selective, you know, be selective about what you're being selective about, if that makes sense. Be discriminating with respect to what you're being selective, as opposed to sort of picky about things that are not as important.
Know your priorities. All are here. Hi, you're on the air with Farijat at Maisahana and Jasbina. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Farijat. Hi, Jasbina. My name is Zach, and my question is regards to relationships, Jasbina. So the question I have for you is, what's the best way to approach South Asian parents about your significant other?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thanks, Zach. That is a great question. So this is someone who once been dating and their parents don't know about them as yet, and this is something that the person feels there's potential. Is that the case that we're setting up here?
Right. That's exactly the case.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, an open dialogue with parents with respect to that. So I think as soon as someone feels, you know, this is serious, you know, this does have potential, I think, you know, I definitely think you're on the right track in terms of talking to parents before kind of throwing a woman or a guy into a situation of meeting parents. Actually, for the person for the son or daughter to actually have a one-on-one or one-on-two conversation with the parents beforehand is a great idea. I think it's really important. So I think just, you know, sharing with your parents that, you know, I feel strongly about this person. And I think sharing some of the positive things about that person, to share with your parents what, you know, why you so enjoy that person or why they're so important to you. And then, I would ask your parents, you know, I'd love to introduce, I'd love to introduce her or him, you know, to you. And what do you think about that? And so then they also feel involved at that point, but they also feel like, you know, you're doing the courtesy of asking, you know, are you ready to meet this person as well? So that's how I would go about it. And I think that, you know, to the parents out there who may be listening, I would say, you know, I encourage just an open dialogue. So to the extent that there's some level of openness, you know, going bilateral openness between the parents and kids prior to that discussion, I think the more smooth it will go. And I think it would go, you know, the more favorable for everyone it would be. So
I
would
think that
be
makes
my,
a lot of sense. And I think there's this core anxiety that a lot of South Asian parents feel because this is so unknown and so different, that the child can help reduce that anxiety by giving them information and asking permission and showing respect, like you're saying, I think makes it smoother.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think parents need to, you know, need to have faith in the, you know, in the way they raise their children too, and have faith, and for a parent to show also, you know, a respect to the child that, you know, to give a sense of, you know, I trust your judgment, I think goes a long way as well. And of course, I'm not saying obviously, you know, you meet the person, and but you know, if you feel that way, I mean, sharing that with a child, I think, like you said, can go a long way. Sort of a mutual, respectful relationship would be.
Yeah, that's a really, really great point. We've got another caller here on the line. Hi, you're talking to Barijat and Jasbina. And what's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Jayashree, and I'm a South Asian parent of a 16-year-old son. I just have a question. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I'm not against dating per se, although I don't want to encourage him yet. So how do I open up healthy conversation with him about this topic?
Sure. Would you like me to jump in? Or, thank you. Thanks for your question, Jayashree. This is Jasbina. And I would say that, you know, I think it actually, I want to put something out there. And you mentioned your son is 16 years old. And I'm actually a big believer, and I think, as you know, I'm sure a lot of, I think in our culture, a lot of South Asian parents are, in the concept of investing in yourself to be able to really be a part of like a healthy, mutually productive kind of relationship down the line. So I think that, you know, while I mentioned the don't date, okay, get married extreme that I think exists there, I think by the same token, the sort of the positive lining that a lot of people who come to me who that resonates with, you articulate, is that that also gave them the opportunity to focus on their studies or their interests, whether it be sports or whether it be other extracurriculars, and just developing themselves and investing in themselves. So my opinion would be that, but at the same time, my opinion would be to share with your son that, you know, that is a value in terms of the whole concept of investing in yourself and the idea of timing being important in terms of decisions being made now, having consequences and repercussions in the future. And that this, by the same token, not make the idea of dating or meeting girls or that kind of a thing to be something, you know, verboten or something that is, you know, it doesn't happen in your family or doesn't. So I think starting the open dialogue with, you know, making those two points clear, I think could just keep an open sense of dialogue so that your son, you know, would be comfortable to come to you and let you know if any issues along those lines come up. That would be my, Pari Jeff, I'd be curious to hear what you have to say, but that would be my first, first answer to that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think what you're getting at, which I completely agree, is we should always keep that open line of communication, because in case your child is dating and gets into a situation where he needs help, it's better that they come to you and ask for that help instead of hiding it and trying to get help from places that may not be as helpful, actually. And, you know, knowing that you are available there as a parent, as a support. And I think just going back to what you said earlier, Jasbina, and trusting that you've done a good job raising your child, that having that open communication is going to be key for them to make good choices as they grow up and enter the dating world. We've got one more caller here. Hi, you're on the air with Barijat Jasbina. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Aditya, and I just want to ask, when would be the right time to tell your parents that you like someone?
Great question.
Well, you know what? Like all great, Aditya, this is Jasmina, and like a lot of great questions, I don't think there's one sort of, you know, one answer to that, one size fits all. I would say that I think that's a function of the relationship that you have with your parents, you know, to begin with, sort of leading up to that. Some people tend to have a somewhat, you know, open relationship with their parents, where their parents know they're dating, and they know they're meeting different people, and so if someone of the different people that are dating, one person kind of is a front runner, that's a time that they want to share that with their parents. And then some people who don't have as open a relationship, where they really want to have a certain level of seriousness before they, you know, bring it up to their parents. So, you know, for that reason, I would say, I would probably reiterate what I said before in terms of Zach's question, and also just to have an understanding of where your openness level. And the only thing I want to say about that is, even if up till this point someone has had like less of an open relationship with their parents, or, you know, less of an open dialogue going both, bilateral kind of dialogue going both ways, you know, that's a dynamic thing, and I don't think that's set in stone, and that, you know, is that can change too. So if the dating is kind of the time to share, you know, to try to open up the communication lines, I think either you know, the parents or the kids can try to do that. And so that would be my knee-jerk reaction to that. What do you think, Parja?
Yeah, I think I agree. You know, Aditya, I would definitely ask you, and you don't have to answer this necessarily if you're not sure right now, but my question would be, you know, what is the motivation behind telling your parents? I think some people, a lot of teens and young adults have different reasons why. Some people are just really nervous and don't want to hide things from their parents. Some people just really want that open communication, and this is a great way to do that. So that would be my first question to you. And then from there, I think really just piggybacking on what Jasmina said is depending on what your relationship is with your parents and when you're ready. At that point, you know, I think any time would be a great time to sit them down and say, hey, I have something I want to share with you. And if you're concerned about how they're going to react, you can always say, you may not like it, but I'd really like it if you can just listen, and then you can ask me whatever questions you want and I'll answer whatever I can, and just help create that dialogue going as smoothly as possible. Did that answer your question, Aditya?
Yeah, that did. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling.
Do we have time? I just want to put one more thing in there. Do we have time, or are we running out?
Yeah, no, go for it.
I just want to say the other thing in terms of that is, it also strikes me that, you know, in the relationship, the person one's in a relationship with also, you know, to some extent, I think there's room for them to factor in, especially if it's serious, in terms of what's important to them. Some people who one might be in a relationship with, it would be pretty important for them to feel like they are being introduced, or that the parents know of them. It's something of value to them, that there could be a level of resentment if that doesn't happen at a certain point in the relationship, and others for whom maybe that wouldn't be important. So, again, in the whole thing of being in a relationship, I think you're sort of, to some extent, I mean, you know, you have your family of origin, but I think you're also creating something with the person you're with. So depending on, you know, what one's age is and what level of seriousness it is, I think that other person definitely, you know, would be helpful to take that person into account as well in sort of the decision-making calculus of when and how and that kind of thing. So.
That's a great point. You know, we got a question from a couple recently at my sauna where they brought up this exact point, actually, on our column, that one was not ready to share with about the relationship, and the other very rejected and very unimportant, and that created a lot of strain in that relationship. And they were, I believe, in their early 20s and had been dating for 2 or 3 years. So, like you said, the age and the level of commitment definitely matters, but it can be a factor in terms of bringing family into the picture. Whereas we have other couples that contact us and say, we don't want family involved at all because it's just too much stress, too much pressure, and they both are in complete agreement with that with each other. So it's a good point you bring up, that this is a conversation the two of you should have together too, to make sure you're both on the same page about this.
Yeah,
it looks like we have a question on our Facebook fan page from Kavita, who's asking, how do I know when a relationship is over and if I should try to move on, or if it's worth fighting for?
That is a very tough one, and I think I think that's a lot of people find themselves in that situation, and I think that. So this is Kavita. So this is a woman who is asking this. I will say this about my experience with respect to men, and I will say that you look at a man's actions even more so than his words, like a man's actions more so than his words. I think the way a man feels about the relationship, about their partner, is revealed more so in the actions than the words. So that means things like. Is he putting effort into this? Is he, depending on what level, what your experience has been to date in terms of, I don't know how long, how long one's been dating, whoever has been dating or whoever has been dating this person, or what the sort of history of that has been. But just generally speaking, I would say that, you are looking for signs that, he's putting the effort forth. And fighting... So we're talking about not a marriage, so there's not a marriage or kids involved. And I think the idea of fighting for something, I'd like to see both people fighting for it. When one person is fighting for something, I think the chances of both people getting what they want out of that relationship, I think is less likely.
Right.
I like to see both people putting efforts in. And, so that would be my, without knowing more, that would be what I'd say.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So we have just a few minutes left, Justine, and I want to get a specific topic, which is what is some advice that you can give to people who are looking for their life partner? And do you have any specific advice for people who are later in life and are now looking for somebody else as well?
Well, I think the most important specific advice for someone looking later in life is to just remember it's never too late. So if there's a concept of, oh, I'm X age, whatever X is, because it's a different number for different people, whatever X is, I wonder if it's too late. There are no more good men or women, what have you, right? I say, quell that. No, there are, and it's never too late. And in terms of just everybody, in terms of searching, whether it's one's first time they're looking for, a spouse for the first time, whether it's, another go-around, what have you, I would say, again, to sit, to go internal before going external, meaning really it's one thing to say I'm selective and this is important to me, but I would say, sit down with yourself and what is important, whether it's based, ideally it's based on your values, priorities, experiences. Ideally it's not too heavily influenced by others' expectations of you and more so, your own values and priorities. But
right.
And I would say that anything that gets on the list of, what I call must-haves or non-negotiables, your needs, basically, anything that gets on that list, I think asking the question why behind it, and I'll just give you an example. So if someone says, it's essential to me that that my partner be a certain profession or have a certain degree, the why, I like to ask the why behind that. So for some people, the why is, well, I want that person to have a certain, degree because that shows me that he or she is hardworking, motivated, determined.
Right, exactly.
And I think, those are the qualities you're looking for, recognizing, just to increase your possibilities, to recognize that there are people without that degree or with different degrees that show those traits you're looking for. So if you you may not want to limit yourself to that degree, but instead be open to people having those traits that are important to you.
That's really a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, or the financial stability. There are so many
into this. So I just want to make sure we get your contact information. How can our listeners reach you for questions or want to be a client?
Yeah, well, the best thing to do would be just hop to our website, which is www.intersectionsmatch.com. We have videos there. We also have resources. We have a radio show. Harjus is a great guest on our radio show as well. So we have a lot of resources there for anyone interested, whether for themselves or a family member or any, loved one, interested in, just the kinds of things we've been talking about or potentially wanting to be a client or just learning more about us. Intersectionsmatch.com is the best place to go for that. And my contact information is there as well. One can find my email and phone number by going there as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jasvina. This has been such an interesting and such an enlightening conversation. Thank you for being here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for more information about My Sahana or articles on relationships, you can visit www.mysahana.org. And join the conversation next week, Open Minds to a Healthier Tomorrow.
Mind Matters is a radio show produced by My Sahana. To learn more about My Sahana, visit www.mysahana.org.